It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last, just...
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. My name is Katie Harla. I'm a registered and licensed dietitian, and this show is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. Good morning to all you early risers in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and hello to all listening on our podcast version of the show. It's really great to have you with us, and it's really encouraging to me, and it's really exciting, I know, to me and my coworkers, that so many people are tuning in and listening.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's incredible. To me, it really just shows us that people are interested in their health and they're really interested in learning how good nutrition can make such a positive impact in their lives.
Yeah, and it's great because we have listeners not only locally, but even nationally and worldwide.
Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, have you had a client? Somebody's had a client from Australia.
And in Great Britain, too.
Yes, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're listening and thinking, you know, yes, that's me. I want to learn how foods can affect my health. We have a really great topic today. We're going to actually be talking about the food connection to asthma. So that voice over there you heard is Leah Wetzel. She's a licensed nutritionist, but more importantly, new mommy.
Yes.
So this is the first radio show Leah is on, being back from her maternity leave.
Yeah. It's great to be on the show today with you, Katie. And it's great to be back. I'm so glad to be on the show. And I really love being a new mom.
Mm-hmm.
I had a son, and his name is Oliver, and he's 6 months old already. I can't believe it. Time is just... flying by.
He is, you know, I remember the first time I saw you back from maternity leave and we actually had
I brought him into that meeting.
Yes. And so I saw Oliver and I was thinking to myself, that is what a nutritionist baby looks like. He's so cute.
Yeah, he is. I would say I'd brag that he is the cutest thing ever.
Oh, of course.
And a really good baby.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm so lucky.
He's adorable.
Yeah.
So, Leah, I really am so glad you are on today because you have personally experienced the challenges of having asthma.
Yes.
But through nutrition, kind of have calmed it.
Exactly.
You know, I've heard your story before, and I know it didn't happen all overnight, but over a period of time, and kind of as you found different triggers to your asthma. So why don't we, you know, I think why don't we share your story today? I'm sure a lot of listeners could actually relate to what's going on. I think it would work great if we started at the beginning.
Sure.
So, Leah, what were you eating back when you were a teenager?
Not good stuff.
Yeah.
So during my teen years, I had a really poor diet, like many teens do. Eating lots of processed foods. Mm-hmm. Foods I ate a lot of, I would say, are like chips, candy, and my favorite was cereal. I'd eat cereal breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh my goodness, me too. I can totally relate.
Yeah. They were really, you know, mainstays in my diet. And thinking back at that point in my life, you know, I really didn't drink a lot of water. Mm. Most of my, liquid consumption was soda or juice, pretty much.
So I bet when you were eating that way, you really didn't even think that it was a big deal. You're probably like, oh, this is just how my friends eat. This is just like a typical teenage diet.
Yep. Exactly.
So after eating that way for a while, what started to happen to your body?
Well, it was in my late teens, probably about 19 years old. Mm-hmm. And it was in the winter time. It was right around Christmas that I started to notice issues with my breathing.
Okay.
And, you know, really that it was tough for me to take in a deep breath.
So that probably started to set off a little bit of an alarm bell.
Yeah, it was a new feeling that I hadn't had before. And like many teenagers, what I did was ignore it. And then kind of went on my way. And until about springtime of that year, I really was starting to develop some problems breathing. Now, I also have and had at that point pretty strong seasonal allergies.
Oh, okay.
Spring and fall would be a big flare up for me.
So
kind of right around that same time of that year, that all of a sudden my breathing started to become very, very noticeably reduced and inflamed. So I went to the doctor because I was concerned about my breathing, and I started on medications. I started on Advair, and I had a rescue inhaler, albuterol.
Okay.
And, you know, at this point, I hadn't really made any sort of connections to food and my lifestyle habits. So over the years, my asthma got progressively worse, and I really started to become miserable.
Yeah. So it was around that springtime, then time with the allergies, yeah. You're really like, okay, something's going on.
It was too much of a daily occurrence for me to ignore, and kind of forced me to go to the doctor to see what was going on.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, you know, for people listening, I want to remind people what asthma is, if they're not really familiar. Before we really dig into the food piece and the food connections mm-hmm. that you've made with your asthma. You know, so asthma is a fairly common chronic disorder, and it's caused by actually inflammation in the airway. And what we're finding is inflammation is really at the root of all disease states.
Yes.
So this one is inflammation in the airway. You know, if we have inflammation in the airway, really what is happening is the bronchial tubes are constricting, and it's making it more difficult for people to breathe, mm-hmm. which is exactly what you were starting to experience. It was tough to take a really deep yep. breath in. With asthma, a lot of people recognize that they have specific triggers. You know, maybe for some people, it's a food sensitivity. Maybe other people, oh, it's pollen, or they notice that dust is a trigger. Mold can be a trigger for people. Other people, and I had a client recently, really recognize that viruses mm-hmm. Or bacteria mm-hmm. can actually be a trigger
yep.
that causes inflammation in the airway.
When you're sick, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. and it causes it to constrict.
Yep.
So the immune system, what it's doing is it's recognizing those objects as invaders, and it goes into battle mode. You know, it causes inflammation in the form of extra blood flow, mucus, and fluids in the airway.
Yep. For some, asthma can come on suddenly, or it can build up over several hours or several mm-hmm. days. And symptoms include wheezing, breathlessness, tightness of chest, and coughing. You know, and I experienced all of those symptoms.
So you can relate.
Yes, I definitely can relate to all of that. And according to the CDC, about 19 million adults suffer from asthma. If you experienced this before, you know it's very uncomfortable and can be very scary at times. In some cases, it can be life-threatening.
Yes.
And, you know, knowing that, you know, that I've had moments of that, it was really panicky
yeah.
to feel that.
And I can only imagine what that would be like, just feeling that tightness in the chest mm-hmm. and just, I can't, it's terrifying to not be able to fully take mm-hmm. a breath in. So it's really, it's dangerous
it
too.
Is. Yep.
You know, I think another really interesting point that makes our brains as nutritionists kind of turn and tune in is that the incidence of asthma has been rising very quickly in the United States. Actually, between 1980 and about 1993 to 94, it's increased 75%
wow.
overall.
Wow.
That's huge. That makes me think, okay, what's going on?
Yeah. That's really incredible. That's about 75% in 14
yes.
years. That's a lot. Asthma is known to be a disease with many different factors for triggers, including stress, chemicals, bacteria or viral infections, and the list kind of goes on and on. But my brain, as I know yours does too, goes straight to the food factor because that is how I've noticed the biggest change with my asthma.
Yes. You know, that's exactly where my brain goes. So we've said that inflammation is at the core of asthma.
Mm-hmm.
But our goal today is going to be explain which foods create inflammation and which foods can soothe inflammation.
Yep.
But Leah, today I'm really, you know, I think it'd be great if we explain this to listeners via your story and how we noticed the fact that your asthma developed over a time period when you weren't leading the healthiest lifestyle. Lots of processed foods.
Yep.
Not a lot of sleep, exercise.
Exactly.
I think that's really going to be a great point to be talking about today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So before I really dive into that, I think it'd be good for us to take a first break.
I agree with you. I think it's a good stopping point.
Yes.
So
right.
when we get back, we'll talk about the changes you
yes.
started to make.
Yes. So stay tuned. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, and our show today is about the food connection to asthma. Nutritional Weight and Wellness has a Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
so if you're not friends with us on Facebook, you can friend us on Facebook.
Yes.
And this week, we asked the question, has nutrition helped your asthma? Well, we had many responses, which was great. I appreciate all of those responses. Jacqueline wrote, yes, I have been hospitalized many times with asthma. After cutting out sugar and white flour, I only notice a small improvement. I am now off dairy, sugar, and gluten, and my asthma is cured.
Oh, that's great.
That's amazing. Yes. And Kelly said, yes, I was able to get off steroids by cutting out all processed food from my diet. Cutting back on gluten and sugar has also helped. Other comments told us that reduced medications and asthma being the thing of the past. Nutrition really can be so powerful.
It really can.
If you want to join our conversation today, please give us a call in the studio at 651-641-1071.
A wise doctor once said, "Today you are you. That's truer than true. There is no one alive who is youer than you." The doctor in question was Dr. Seuss, and I bet he would like the attitude and approach they use at Nutritional Weight and Wellness. For more than 25 years, the licensed nutritionists, registered dietitians, and nutrition educators have worked one-on-one with clients. Because they know no one is youer than you, they will come up with an individualized eating plan that addresses your needs, your body, your health concerns. Because they use research-based knowledge, and because they care, they can guide you to be the best, healthiest, most energetic you you can be. Come into one of their Twin Cities-based office locations for a consultation or schedule a counseling session over the phone. Nutritional Weight and Wellness. Call them at 651-699-3438. That's 651-699-3438. Or go to weightandwellness.com. They will get results for you. It's true.
Nutritional Weight and Wellness is now open in Maple Grove. Call them today at 651-699-3438.
Listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, the radio show brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. You know, I want to give you a little quiz before we get back into our topic today, which is asthma. So what is this substance? It's essential for brain function. It helps strengthen cell walls. It is a major building block for important hormones. It assists with growth and repair of tissues and blood vessels. With reduced levels of this, it may be a sign of a serious disease or cancer. Anybody out there know what it is?
I know, I want that.
Yes, it sounds like something you'd want, right?
Yes.
Wonder how many hands are raised. So if you guessed cholesterol, you are correct.
Ooh.
Look at how interesting and how important cholesterol is.
That's a lot of very important things.
Yes, oh my goodness. So that's just some of the fun information you'll learn when you take our six-week weight and wellness series. So the Weight and Wellness series will provide you with the tools you need to succeed. Class participants have experienced better moods, they've experienced better sleep, an increase in their energy, and really a better overall quality of life. You know, our six-week Weight and Wellness series starts actually the week of July 8th, all over the Twin Cities, from Maple Grove to the Lunds on Lake Street.
Right by my house.
Yeah. I'm actually going to be teaching the Lunds one. Yep. To Lakeville. So if you have any questions about the class, go to weightandwellness.com or you could give the front desk a call at 651-699-3438.
And it's a great class. And they've really spent, it was a whole year of, you know, just updating and it's great graphics and great articles and just... It's overall, it's one of my favorites to teach.
Yeah, it's a very powerful 6 weeks.
It is.
I don't think people realize all the connections that are made in that class, but it really kind of, it almost empowers the classmates to really take a hold of their health. They're like, I can do this, you know?
And it's amazing to see the progression of health just within the 6 weeks because they do that health history.
Yes.
And, you know, from the beginning to end, it's everybody in the class improves.
Huge marks of improvement. Yep. That's amazing. Well, before we got to break, we were kind of talking a little bit about asthma and what it is. But really, we're going to dig into now Leah's story a little bit. You know, because Leah, I know before you really weren't leading the healthiest lifestyle.
Nope.
A lot of teenagers, and I can relate, were not, right?
Yep.
A lot of juice, a lot of processed foods. But now you are leading a healthy lifestyle. So, you know, what have been some changes and what kind of triggered you to change?
Sure. Well, the biggest motivating factor is that I gain a significant amount of weight in a short period of time. So weight was my motivation to get healthy. Not really actually at that point realizing that something like my asthma could be fixed by, you know, what I was eating at that point. But it was 2003 that my New Year's resolution was to get healthy and to lose weight.
Yes.
And so what I started to do is to learn about food. And I started with just cutting out processed food.
Okay, good. That's a great step one.
Yep. So cut out the processed food, and I was eating a lot more fruits and vegetables. And within that year, I actually ended up losing 50 pounds.
Wow.
And overall, you know, I was feeling a lot better. And I noticed a little slight improvement with my asthma, but it still really was kind of an aggravation for me. I found that other forms of my inflammation was decreasing, but just not that in particular.
which was a big factor for you.
Was my main form, definitely. So I really had a lot more to discover about nutrition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's really great, you know, that you did decide, okay, I'm going to make this lifestyle change. I'm going to have my resolution of get healthy.
Yeah.
So you noticed a little bit of an improvement in your asthma, and you noticed, you know, an improvement in your health overall.
Yeah, I had like bursitis in my hips that were residing.
Yes.
That was getting better.
Yes.
And, you know, I was increasing my physical activity levels as well. And so less aches and pains. I mean, I was young, but yeah. I felt like I was an old lady.
Older, right.
Because I had lots of inflammation.
So much inflammation.
Yep.
So cutting out the processed foods did start to help that.
Yeah.
We're going to get to other pieces of your puzzle, but let's share with folks why cleaning up your diet from the processed foods to more real foods helped kind of your overall kind of quality of life.
Yeah, absolutely. So the one thing I was eating a lot of was those processed carbs.
Sure.
And when we talk about those processed carbs, what we really mean are carbohydrates, foods that are coming from what we call like the processing plants.
Yes.
And not the plants found in nature.
So not something you could go outside and pick or pluck,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You couldn't pluck a bag of Doritos off the tree, right?
Exactly. So think of processed carbs more as like a science experiment. Examples are bagels, cereal bars, chips, cookies, snack crackers, like example would be like Goldfish.
Sure.
Yeah. Those are not foods that you would pluck from the earth. They, you know, like we would fruits and vegetables, which we can find them in abundance,
yes,
right? I know that those processed carbohydrates that I was eating were triggering my asthma flare-ups, and for one reason being that it broke down into my body into a lot of sugar, and we know that sugar causes inflammation.
And I think that's a new idea for some people,
yep,
that, you know, like a bagel would break down to sugar.
Exactly.
A bagel can actually break down. It's a processed carb. When it gets into our system and actually breaks down, it can break down to what? About 14 and a half teaspoons of sugar.
And in some case, I mean, in some cases, when we think of a bagel, there's actually less sugar in some candy bars.
How much it breaks down to.
Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it? What's, you know, another interesting point is that the standard American diet, or the sad diet, right, contains a lot of the processed carbs we were talking about. You know, take a typical lunch meal, for example. A lot of people choose a sub sandwich, maybe with some chips, cookies, and a soda. In our body, that would actually break down to around 32 teaspoons of sugar.
Yeah. Or, you know, what about kids? What are kids eating nowadays? You know, I think of, you know, a typical breakfast kids would eat, maybe like, and something that I would eat, we'd eat cereal, skim milk, and some orange juice on the side. That's about 16 teaspoons of sugar. And, you know, during my teens and early 20s, I was, you know, pretty much drinking a lot of my fluids from juices on a, you know, regular basis. And I was just really flooding my body with sugar.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, we don't, you know, like what kids are eating for breakfast, the cereal and the juices and the, you know, skim milk. We think it, you know, we almost view it as a high fiber, high vitamin C, maybe breakfast, but we don't really think about the fact that it's could be causing health problems.
Yep.
So really it's the amount of sugar that these processed carbs break down to.
Yep.
You know, we know that an excess of sugar in the body can be extremely inflammatory to the lung tissue, causing asthma flares. Now, since we are on the topic of sugar, there's another sort of sugar to be on the lookout for, and that is high fructose corn syrup. So that's something, you know, to be a label reader for.
Exactly.
You know, scour the ingredients list. Avoid it. Don't eat that high fructose corn
syrup. And unfortunately, it's a lot of the kid derivative foods that have the high fructose corn syrup.
The sodas, the juices, the fruit snacks.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So in his book, The Sugar Fix, Dr. Johnson explains that large amounts of fructose, think of something like a Coke, creates lots of inflammation in the tissues.
So really what we're saying is keep the processed carbs down and include real carbohydrates instead. The processed carbohydrates create the inflammation.
Yes. So some real carbs examples would be something like fruits and vegetables.
Right. That's a new thought.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, it really is true. We talk about this a lot in class, that when you think of carbohydrates, oftentimes what is associated with that are like the more processed, the bagels, the pasta. And really, the true carbohydrates are the vegetables.
Plus, I always kind of like to point out to people that, you know, take broccoli and take strawberries and, you know, fruits and vegetables, take those against a piece of bread or some crackers.
Yep.
You know, yes, the fruits and the vegetables are real and the processed carbs are not real. But another thing that's really interesting is the color.
Yes.
Right? So if you're eating...
Visually, it's more appealing to eat.
It's whenever there's color, whenever there's deep, rich color, that means nutrients.
Exactly.
So you're nourishing your body with the fruits and the vegetables.
Yep.
Plus, it's not breaking down to as much sugar.
That's right. And it's much better and less inflammatory,
mm-hmm.
for sure. So from all of those processed carbohydrates that we had talked about, other real carb choices would be things like sweet potato, legumes, beans, wild rice.
Mm-hmm. Wild rice, that's a great one.
Yeah.
Takes a while to cook, but if, you know, you can cook a big batch of it.
Yeah, that's exactly whenever I choose to make up some wild rice.
Yeah.
I have a recipe I'm going to make. I make a bunch of it, and
mm-hmm.
I usually just do it in the crock pot.
Yeah. Oh,
throw
okay,
it into the
sure.
crock pot.
That's a good idea.
Let it cook, you know, for a long time, so
mm-hmm.
it gets nice and well done.
Yep.
And then it freezes actually
it
pretty,
freezes
mm-hmm.
great.
So I just freeze out my extras and put that in there and use it for my next time I want to make those wild rice meatballs.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
You know, so really what you were doing when you made that get healthy resolution
yeah.
is you were making the switch from processed carbs
yes.
to real carbohydrates.
That's correct.
You know, so aside from carbohydrate foods, there's a lot of other processed foods kind of lurking in the store.
Yes.
Another thing that comes to mind for me is making sure people choose real proteins
yes.
instead of man-made proteins.
Yes.
So, Leah, were you eating a lot of man-made proteins before?
I sure was. I was eating
yeah.
a lot of man-made proteins. You know, I really didn't know enough about the difference between the two of the man-made and the real proteins. Man-made proteins would be something that you'd find in Lunchables, which
mm-hmm.
I used to beg my mom to buy me in the store.
Yes.
I used to love those. And, you know, those little bologna slices.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
That would be an example of a man-made protein.
Yes.
And they were definitely creating inflammation. So really what we're looking at, you know, other examples would be things like processed deli meats. And they're full of preservatives. So really what we want to do is with those processed meats, we want to avoid those preservatives, things like nitrates or MSG. Real proteins would be things like a piece of salmon, chicken, or steak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know that packages are pretty proud of themselves if they don't have the MSG and the nitrates. And they kind of boast it on the front of the package, making it a little easier to navigate.
Yes, which is nice.
It is nice, especially for somebody who's not as label reader savvy yet.
Exactly.
Yet they're getting
exactly.
into it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So I think it's time for our next break. Time is just flying right by.
Oh my goodness.
You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. There was an article out recently looking at one of our favorite minerals, magnesium.
Yes.
Even though we talk about the benefits of magnesium frequently, it is often a forgotten mineral. A study using around 7,500 individuals found that those with the lowest urinary levels of magnesium were 70% more likely to die from heart disease compared to those with higher levels, even after other cardiovascular threats were taken into consideration. Researchers report that low magnesium levels are an independent risk factor for heart disease. Magnesium has been reported to protect against osteoporosis, maintaining healthy blood pressure levels, and reducing the risks of type 2 diabetes, and also has been shown to be a bronchodilator,
mm-hmm.
so really helping our lung tissue, and really has been shown in studies to with people with asthma, helping to reduce asthma attacks,
yeah.
especially acute asthma attacks. As we're talking about asthma today.
So it's very important.
Yeah, exactly. So we typically recommend around 400 to 600 magnesium glycinate. That's
mm-hmm.
the most absorbable form of magnesium at bedtime. If you have questions today for us, please give us a call in the studio at 651-641-1071.
Allow me to blow your mind. Ready? Fat doesn't make you fat. You okay? Still listening? All right, I got another one. Sugar substitutes actually cause you to gain weight. Whoa, is it opposite day? Nope, just dropping a little science on you. The kind you'll learn at Nutritional Weight and Wellness. The kind that will teach you how to eat real food that gets you to your real weight and makes you feel real good. For good. Because the point system doesn't add up. The starvation diet is mean. And you can count on calorie counting to let you down every single time. Learn to eat the way people did when obesity was an exception, not an epidemic. And learn how much delicious, real, vital food you can eat. That's the part that will really blow your mind and eventually your butt right off your backside. To sign up for Nutrition for Weight Loss, call Nutritional Weight and Wellness at 651-699-3438 or visit weightandwellness.com.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. My name is Katie Harla, registered and licensed dietitian, and I am in studio with my coworker, Leah Wetzel, licensed nutritionist. I'm really glad you're here, Leah.
Thanks. I'm glad to be on with you.
It's, you know, for those tuning in, our topic is all about the food connection to asthma, and Leah really does have quite the powerful story about how she has calmed her asthma with the way she eats. Before we get back into this topic, I want to share a really inspiring change shared by my client, Lisa, who had taken our Nutrition for Weight Loss class last December. You know, just this past week, I was meeting with Lisa, and she, you know, she kind of just bounded in. She was overjoyed with all of the changes that she's experienced. She couldn't stop smiling. That was awesome. She told me she's lost 30 pounds. She doesn't have any foot or toe pain anymore, notices her moods are more stable, and she feels kind of more calm and less reactive.
That's great.
She doesn't have any heartburn. Her stomach pains are gone.
Wow.
She used to get really pretty severe sinus infections, but she was telling me, she's like, you know, Katie, those are a thing of the past. I don't have those anymore. The nice thing is that people have noticed, too, that she doesn't, you know, they say, you don't look as tired, Lisa. And I agree with them. She looked great. So really for her, it's another story of how life-changing it is. I know, you know, she's telling me she's spreading the good news to her friends and family.
That's great.
Everybody that she knows that will listen. Telling them about Weight and Wellness and to come on in. But really for our Nutrition for Weight Loss classes, they start up the week of July 15th all over the metro area. So give our front desk gals a call, 651-699-3438 to sign up today.
And, you know, stories like this, doesn't make you just love your job?
Yes, I mean, we love our job, but even more. It's just like, wow, it's really helping change people's lives.
Exactly. So. It just really is empowering. That's great. Well, we have a couple callers today.
Perfect.
Thanks for calling Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question today about potatoes?
Yes. Actually, I absolutely love your show. I wish you guys were on more often and for longer. But I noticed you had talked about sweet potatoes. Are regular potatoes okay?
Yeah, regular potatoes are okay. One of the rules we kind of go by is the bigger the potato, the more starch it has in it, the more sugar it breaks down to. So, you know, like little red potatoes would be an even better option than like a big baking russet potato. But, you know, a potato is a real food. Kind of what we suggest is about half a cup.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem.
Bye.
And of course, if you're going to have a potato...
Yes.
What goes great with a potato?
Butter.
Of course. Add a little butter on top.
That's right.
That helps. Butter actually helps to slow down some of those carbs into
our system. Exactly. So, and as kind of carrying us over to thinking about fat as the next component to being something that can help with inflammation or hurt and cause more inflammation.
Absolutely.
And when we think about fat, I think of hydration and inflammation reduction. Yeah. So choosing good quality fats is a part of the soothing the inflammation of the airways. It is best to avoid overly processed oils such as vegetable, canola, or cottonseed oil. Crisco, margarines, or fake butter sprays are, they belong in the garbage. They do not belong in our bodies. So when you're reading those labels, when the ingredient label, what you want to see, what you want to avoid is anything that says hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated.
Yes.
Those mean trans fats. And trans fats can actually cause our cells and our airways and lung tissue to have crusty outer shell.
Yes.
And it's good to know to be reading those labels because they can state on the label that it's trans fat free, but it can still have it in there, right?
Yes, exactly. That's tricky, I think, for people as they're kind of starting to get into the label reading and trying to make a shift towards taking care of what they put in their mouth.
Exactly.
It'll say... contains no trans fats, but if you look at the back and you read the ingredients and it says hydrogenated or partially hydrogenated, there are trans fats in there.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, some great healing fats would be in the form of coconut oil. I think that's a favorite oil around the office.
It's my favorite.
Oil. Yes, it is. It is, and it's delicious too.
Yes.
Real butter is a great one. Not butter sprays. You know, not like margarine spreads or anything. Avocados are a great one. Olive oil, nuts and seeds, even nut butters like almond butter. And certainly someone with asthma would want to take hold of the healing benefits of the healthy fats.
Exactly.
So, Leah, when you cut out processed foods, really what you were doing is cutting out the processed carbs.
Mm-hmm.
You were cutting out the man-made proteins, and you were removing the damaging fats.
Yes.
So that change helped you see some reduction in your asthma, but I know that that's not the whole story. When I've heard it before, when I've heard you explain this before, I know that you still had some asthma kind of hanging on after the weight loss.
Yes.
And reducing some of the processed foods.
Yes.
So next you discovered you had some food sensitivities, correct?
I did, yes. So during, you know, my weight loss journey, I really discovered nutrition as a real passion for me and decided to make a career transition and to become a nutritionist. And this journey led me to nutritional weight and wellness. And like, you know, we all get to do, we get the opportunity to sit down with Dar, and my biggest question for her was, why is this asthma still being a problem for me when all these other health benefits have resolved, I mean, it has come to light, you know, by me eating real foods versus the processed foods?
It's always fun to kind of sit down and get inside Dar's brain, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, so talking with Dar and having a conversation, what did you discover?
Well, she told me that I had a gluten intolerance.
Oh, okay.
And I was really kind of shocked right away because I really didn't think that that was an issue for me. But, you know, decided to take up her advice and I gave up gluten just to see what sort of improvements I would have. And really, to my surprise, I noticed significant improvement in within 24 hours.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So within 24 hours of removing gluten, you saw a reduction in the inflammation in your airways.
Yes.
That's amazing. And I think maybe what was happening is a lot of time people assume that gluten sensitivity is only correlated with any indigestion.
Exactly.
You know, but if not, it can cause inflammation other ways.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes people think that gluten removal, you know, gluten-free diet, it's just a fad. But really, truly, it's a major factor in soothing the inflammation in some people's bodies. And Leah, you certainly noticed it in yours.
Huge improvement.
You know, if you want to try to avoid gluten, again, that means you avoid wheat products, rye, oats, and barley being some of the major contenders in the gluten field. So again, those are found in a lot of those processed carbs we were talking about earlier. So Leah, did the removal of the processed foods and gluten solve it all? Was it gone?
You know, it solved the majority of it, but it wasn't completely gone. The asthma was still, you know, there a little bit. So after some further digging into food sensitivities, I found out that it also had a dairy sensitivity on top of the gluten sensitivity. And so now if I eat any dairy, which I pretty much do avoid, but if I have anything like cheese, cottage cheese, milk, yogurt, or cream, I can really feel it in my lung tissue.
Sure. You know, that's really interesting. I was at a conference, my gosh, maybe 6 months ago, and the doctor, more of a holistic kind of approach, she said, you know, take a look at your clients. And what I've noticed with my clients is that if they have a gluten sensitivity, most often they also have a dairy sensitivity, which is exactly what you found. Is gluten was the biggest one.
Yep.
But then dairy was also another kind of little
actor. As I say, the close second.
The close second, right. So really, Leah, you've changed your life and healed your chronic asthma with your nutrition. You lost 50 pounds.
Yes.
You reduced processed foods. And then you also found out you have a gluten and a dairy sensitivity.
Yeah.
With all of that change, how is your asthma now?
It's pretty much non-existent.
Wow.
I am completely off of medications. Mm-hmm. I do have somewhere, I don't know exactly where it is in my house right now, a rescue inhaler.
Okay.
But I completely forget about it. And at this point now, I know in the past I've talked about maybe once a year. I can't remember. It's been over a year now that I've ever had any issues, even through my pregnancy with asthma.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, so if you are wondering if that gluten or dairy we kind of were mentioning is causing your asthma to flare, really the best way to find out is by removing it for at least 3 weeks and pay attention to how you feel. If you feel like you have to use your inhaler less or you aren't wheezing when you are climbing up the steps, you can bet there is some magic in how you're eating.
Yeah. And if you could even do it longer, like 6 weeks, I always love if people can commit to that, but definitely notice improvement in 3 weeks.
Completely agree.
Yeah.
So I bet some listeners are curious to try some of the steps you found to improve your asthma, but are wondering what to eat.
Yes. Yeah. So let's give them some ideas. if you're, you know, if you're giving your kids something like dry cereal, crackers for snacks, those really are processed carbohydrates. Something to try, I love this snack, would be apple slices and peanut butter, which I had last night for my bedtime snack.
Oh, there you go.
Cut up, you know, beef sticks with grapes and avocado slices. I think that's great. You'd be amazed what your kids will try if you just offer that. Definitely, we'll be giving Oliver a lot of those foods.
Yeah, right.
A question we get is, what kind of beef sticks? Well, again, as we talked about those processed processed meats, we want to avoid those nitrates and MSG, any sort of chemicals in the meats. So good brands are Thousand Hills beef sticks or Ferndale's Market turkey sticks.
Those are so delicious.
Yeah. Well, it's time for our last break.
Where does the time go?
Yes. And callers, please stay on hold. And when we come back, we'll answer some more questions. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. Before we get into the break, I want to let everyone know we have a great special going on in our office. This summer, for our two-hour singleton classes, you can bring a friend. It's our two-for-one special. And it's specifically for Saturdays. This means if you come into a class of your choosing on a Saturday and bring a friend, they can go for free. So if you have someone in mind that you've always wanted to come to the class but hasn't been able to make it, this is a great opportunity to bring them at no charge for them. We have classes that talk about all sorts of different things, like the nutrition connection to osteoporosis, to gut health, anxiety and stress and mood. Those are just a few. We have a lot more. Those are just for you to name. Check out our website at weightandwellness.com or give us a call today in the office at 651-699-3438.
So welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. Today our topic is all about asthma, and I just want to make sure listeners kind of tune in because we are going to be talking all about Leah's kind of top three supplements.
Yes.
And if you have any questions, give us a call, 651-641-1071. So, Leah, we've talked about your food connections.
Yes.
But you have specific supplements you take, too.
I do. Before we get into that, let's take a caller.
Oh, absolutely.
Great. Chris, thanks for calling Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question about other suggestions for gluten allergy?
Yeah, I heard you say that oatmeal has gluten in it, and also, so I do, I want to know about that.
Sure.
Also, quinoa. My daughter is gluten-free, and she has been eating quinoa, having some reactions. She's getting a migraine once in a while, and she eats quinoa. And also, bananas. Is it okay to have one banana every day for somebody that's on a low carb style diet?
Yeah. Okay, well, the question about oats.
Yeah.
So oats in general are gluten-free, but they're so processed with wheat. They're grown in the same fields. They're processed in the same facilities and same containers with wheat. So they're cross-contaminated. And so somebody that has a gluten sensitivity, it's a really good idea for you to buy gluten-free rolled oats or steel-cut oats.
Okay, so that's what she is buying, and she isn't having a problem with those.
Good, good. So, and there's some people that even though you cut out the gluten grains, have sensitivities to most grains. Mm-hmm. So some people can actually even have sensitivities to rice and quinoa. Mm-hmm. And if she's still having reactions, I do suggest that maybe cutting out all the grains.
Yep.
And seeing if that makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as far as the question about bananas, is she having reactions to the bananas, or is she...
This is for myself now, and I am on a low... I'm trying to cut out sugar, so I want to have a banana with almond butter on it as my snack.
And sure.
Is that banana okay?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the higher sugar natural carbohydrates, but I would say make sure it's not one of those large bananas. That's maybe half a banana if it's a large one, or a small banana. One a day I would say would fine. When you're having that with the almond butter, actually it might sound a little weird, but a really good combination is avocado, half an avocado, and half a banana, and you mix them together, make it like a green pudding. It's really tasty.
So, okay, and I just want to say one little tip that a lot of grocery stores sell their few-day-old bananas for really, really cheap, and they're super good and sweet.
Oh, that's great.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye. We have one more caller.
Sure.
Maureen?
Yeah.
Thanks for calling Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question about dairy-free?
Yes. You said that you had gone dairy-free with the asthma.
Yes.
And does that mean no more butter anymore or whipping cream?
So there are some people that that have a really strong dairy sensitivity that maybe have to cut back on those or eliminate those.
Okay.
But most people with a dairy sensitivity can tolerate butter and the heavy whipping cream as well.
Mostly because it's just the fat component, and it's sometimes those proteins and the milk sugars that people will react to more.
Yep.
I'm back on some steroids now, and I'm thinking the dairy is kind of bothering it.
Yes.
You know, and I'm just doing butter and whipping cream. I'm not doing anything else. But how about things like goat cheese or...
No, I would, especially if you're having flare-up issues right now, I would really try to cut back on the dairy, even goat dairy, I would say.
Okay.
And see if that makes... So did you... is this a new flare-up?
Yeah, of an old issue, so that kind of surprised me. So I was just thinking, okay, maybe I should cut off even the whipping cream. And
yeah, I think that would be, temporarily, I think that would be a good idea to help with the healing.
Okay, good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Love your show.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. So we've talked about the food connection.
Yes.
We have a little time to chat about some supplements.
Yes.
Any specific supplements that you find helpful?
Yes, I do. There's three of them that are kind of staples for me with my asthma history, and they are fish oil, so omega-3 fish oil, GLA from borage oil, and vitamin D have really been necessary, I would say, to help keep my flares down.
All right, that's great. Let's call it Leah's top three.
Sounds good.
So I was reading some interesting research from the Indiana University showing the benefit of omega-3 for asthma. So adults with mild to moderate asthma started taking a pharmaceutical-grade fish oil for 3 weeks to determine any benefit. They noticed an improvement in their post-exercise lung function by 64% and found a 31% decrease in their emergency inhalers.
Wow,
so
great.
It's very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
The study used 3,200 milligrams of EPA and 2,000 milligrams of DHA. So typically we recommend people starting with a fish oil, a total fish oil that contains the EPA and DHA of around 3,000 milligrams per day. But for people, you know, adults with asthma, they may need closer to 6,000 plus milligrams.
Exactly. Yep. So the 3,000 is kind of like a preventative.
Yeah,
so if you have issues with inflammation, you want to take above that marker. So I typically recommend anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000. And I personally take 4,000 milligrams.
And that's exactly what that study was showing about that amount.
Yep.
Yeah.
I also take, like I talked about, the GLA. This is from borage oil. You know, it's an omega-6 fatty acids, which, you know, that can sometimes in the news and in things I talk about, people talk about diet as being a negative thing, too much omega-6. But this is actually a very therapeutic form of omega-6, and it's a potent anti-inflammatory fat, and it's really especially important for our tissue.
Yeah, it's a tissue hydrator.
Yes, that's a great tissue hydrator. I like that. So some people benefit from 600 to 1200 milligrams of GLA a day. I personally take 800 milligrams
of
GLA.
So, of course, we can't say enough good things about vitamin D. We've talked about that so many times on our show.
Yes.
One of the pieces to appreciate about vitamin D is that it appears to have the ability to increase and even modulate the immune system.
Yes.
So it's really important for you to know your blood level of vitamin D. You know, really important to get it tested.
Yes.
A good range is, you know, around 50 to 80. Best source is to get a little sunshine.
Yes. So this time of year... It's about the time of year to do that.
Get out there and get a little sun.
If we get some sun.
Right now here in Minneapolis, St. Paul, it's a little cloudy.
Yeah.
Raining this morning. So especially Minnesotans, though, where we're located, we do need it in supplemental form. Some people need maybe 2,000 IU in the summer months if they're getting some sun.
Yes.
But up to 5,000 IU, you know, in the winter months, or if you're low.
Yes.
You know, you'll have to take... much more.
Yeah, 2,000 is good for sustaining your level if you have adequate level within that 50 to 80 range.
Yes.
But if you're low, I definitely highly recommend to do the 5,000.
Yes.
For
and if you're really low, you might even need to take more than that, I know doctors prescribe heavy duties, yes, heavy duty amounts for the vitamin D.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of immune system, what is going on with the immune system can be the core of asthma. I found this really true for me, and I think that we should help people understand this connection. According to the book, Healing the New Childhood Epidemic, Autism, ADHD, Asthma, and Allergies, the authors state that the immune system is the root source of so many, most of asthma, simply because it's the root source of allergies. The immune system creates all allergies, and allergies create most asthma.
So really, that at the core of asthma is the immune system. So yes, another reason why vitamin D is so important to help modulate the immune system.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And again, like I said, the immune system is the root source of asthma simply because it's the root source of allergies. And the immune system creates all allergies, and allergies create most asthma.
So the inflammation in asthma is stemming from the immune system attacking a specific antigen. When allergies are formed, really what has happened is the immune system has mistaken a seemingly innocent bystander, like yes, for you, Leah, gluten, yes, dairy, for some people, dog hair.
Yep.
Right? To be a harmful invader, like bad bacteria or viruses. The immune system goes into overdrive and attacks, sending out extra blood flow, mucus, and fluids, all of it creating inflammation in the airways,
exactly,
meaning asthma.
Exactly.
You know, so we covered a lot of information today. Changing your diet from a lot of processed foods to more real food and balance can certainly make a huge impact on your inflammatory conditions, including asthma.
That's right.
You know, so while healing her chronic asthma, Leah also discovered she had to remove things like gluten and dairy. It's such a powerful story.
Thank you very much.
I know the counselors at Nutritional Weight and Wellness really have teacher's hearts. You know, we want to encourage you to make the changes while explaining why it's important. You know, we want to sit down and say, you know, hey, you have asthma, or you have an arthritis, or you have some of these food sensitivities. How can we work with you?
Exactly.
So that you have a better diet and that you feel better.
Yes.
And really, like, long term, so we can one-on-one be working together.
Exactly. And this takes some time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Healing, it does,
takes some time.
That's a great point. That's what I say to clients a lot, is,
yep,
that healing takes time. So it's going to take a little time for us to be working one-on-one together to really see improvement. And that you see that, we saw that in your story.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. It wasn't overnight that I was able to cure my asthma.
No.
It took some investigating. And
right.
Sitting down with that DAR.
Yes, got to sit down. So, you know, you lost 50 pounds.
Yeah.
Cut out the processed foods. Cut out the gluten and the dairy.
Yep.
So really, Leah, such a pleasure,
yes,
to be on
you
with
too,
you today.
Katie. That's great.
Yes. So to everyone else, thank you so much for tuning in. Next time, we will be talking about a simple solution to fibromyalgia pain. For today, I want you to remember, change your food, change your life.
Life, I love you. All is groovy.
Thanks for listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you enjoy this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes. The content and opinions expressed are those of the hosts or presenters. They are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Statements made with respect to products have not been evaluated by the FDA.